Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you've reached Burger King. To leave a message, press 1.
Hey, Burger King, it's Mike calling again. I called a billion times about the burgers and the chicken and the flame grilling. My big idea, call me back. I'm here at home.
Michael, didn't we talk about you trying the new flame grilled chicken burger from Burger King? A savory flame grilled chicken patty topped with veggies on a toasted bun. Now just $2 for $5. Or mix and match with another delicious sandwich, part of the $2 for $5 deal. The new flame grilled chicken burger, only at Burger King. Limited time only, price and participation vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Price, aka Rich Sister, and I welcome you to another edition of Thoughts for Vision. Inspirational topics to help get you through life. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank the creators of Blog Talk Radio, and I thank all of you out there for listening today. To check out the blog, please go to www.thoughtsforvision.blogspot.com. Once again, that's www.thoughtsforvision.blogspot, that's BLOGSPOT.com. To check out the radio show, if you're on the blog site, there is a badge link in which you can listen to the show right there on the blog, or you can go to the radio page. Of course, to go directly, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/thoughtsforvision. Once again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/thoughtsforvision. You can also check me out every second and third Sunday on Caliwood, which is the show hosted here on Blog Talk Radio by my good friend Cassandra Calloway. Definitely check out her show and the other shows that she has as a part of her network, as well as my show every second and third Sunday. You can check that out by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Caliwood. Once again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Caliwood. Contact me two ways in which to do so. One by email at thoughtsforvision@yahoo.com. Once again, that's thoughtsforvision@yahoo.com. And you can call me on Skype. Skype name is Rich Sister. Skype name is Rich Sister, RICHSISTAH. Once again, Skype name is Rich Sister, RICHSISTAH. I have Facebook and Twitter pages for you to check out. You can go to that by going to facebook.com/RichSister and twitter.com/RichSister. Once again, facebook.com/RichSister and twitter.com/RichSister. And you can check out my live stream channel. You can go to that by going to www.livestream.com/thoughtsforvision. Once again, that's www.livestream, that's LiveStream.com/thoughtsforvision. I want to welcome you all here today. Hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you're at. Hope you're having a wonderful start to this new year. I didn't say to you, y'all, I hope y'all had a wonderful holiday season. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year. And I hope you're having these first 3 days of the year with something that will get you started on what the rest of your year can be. But on to today's topic. And this is not the easy topic. We're here to talk about, and I'll read the topic for today, is masturbation of God. And this is part one of a part two series, and this is out of the norm for me to talk about, because this is more like as far as relationships, and I don't usually handle those kind of topics, but bottom line, just so much in the news about relationships and so many marriages are ending in divorce, and why are black women single, all that stuff, and, you know, I have feelings, I have opinions about it, and it's just so much going on. See, your typical reality show, seeing women as a whole acting so far from stellar, okay? From stellar, okay? And it's just, like I said, so much going on. So many issues, whether they're emotional issues, mental issues, definitely the sexual issues. And I tell you, just as a whole, in my opinion, the church, I mean, they're getting a little better, but they're not still, it's so many churches that won't deal with certain subjects, especially when it comes to the issue of sexuality. And that's why so many people, I mean, in church, are going to sit and spectate because they're bound up and not free. Because they come to church and hide for whatever reason or other. Could be an emotional issue, a mental issue, but definitely any sexual issue. And people are bound up. And they're sitting in church while they may be saved. They, you know, they're still bound. And I've been thinking about this, and definitely when you think about masturbation, this is really a topic that is so not discussed. Especially in church, if they do discuss it, it's a one-sided issue. You know, they may deal with it, say, with the men in the church, but they don't think about, like, the women. The women have struggled with these issues as well. So it's something to talk about. And what, in game, what is the biblical perspective about this? Because this has been promoted as what? Self-exploration. You're just getting to know your body. But is that what's really going on? Or is it something else? And I decided to focus on this because I think this can be a major problem that's not being discussed. So I'm going to deal with it for these 2 days, right now and tomorrow. We're going to discuss it. What I'm going to do is I found these two back-to-back blogs to read to you about that really covers it well with all the other stuff that I kind of read on the subject. And the name of the, I guess this is the name of the blog, it's called Grace and Truth. And these two particular back-to-back blogs are written by Pastor Brad Bigney. Last name is Bigney. And to read about him so you know a little bit about his background, Brad has been a pastor and husband for 25 years and serves as a conference speaker, NANC certified biblical counselor, and blissfully married husband to his dear wife, Vicky. They also have 5 children. He is a graduate of Columbia Biblical Seminary and has been serving as the senior pastor of Grace Fellowship Evangelical Free Church in Florence, Kentucky, since 1996. So that's a little background about him. And this is part of a blog called Grace and Truth. And he did these back-to-back blogs talking about masturbation. And it's a two-parter because I'm going to read this first blog today. And then I'm going to read the second blog tomorrow about. And this was really a great blog about what are the negative in mental effects that masturbation can be having. Like I said, I know this is not my usual topic that I deal with. Like I said, I'm not really a relationship expert or anything like that, but just seeing what's going on, what's been my experience, it's something that's worth talking about. So I'm going to start reading this blog to you. This is the part one that I'm going to read today. It's called, So What About Masturbation? And once again, this is by Pastor Brad Bigney. When thinking about a biblical view of masturbation, we first need to acknowledge that there is no Bible verse that says masturbation is a sin. However, there are several biblical principles that can guide us in assessing a biblical view on masturbation. And when you think about that, I'll be adding my two cents here and there. I mean, you can think about that so far, you know, that's the typical excuse that somebody would use to, you know, excuse masturbation, saying, well, I don't see no specific verse in the Bible about it, and you won't find one, but that don't mean that the issue is not covered. And I'm going to continue on. Sex, and this is the first point, okay? Sex and our sexuality were not created by God primarily for our own pleasure. God created sex and sexuality as a wonderful gift that is to be given to our life partner. This gift bonds us together in a special way. This gift bonds us together in a special and intimate way. It is something God meant for us to experience in relationship to another human being. When we use it individually, we have twisted something wonderful, and there are some dangers that then enter in. In 1 Corinthians 7:3, and I'm going to read each verse fully because they have it highlighted here where I can just cursor and the verse pops up. The version of the Bible that these verses come out of is the NIV. In 1 Corinthians 7:3, and I'm going to read it real quick, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. And I'm going to continue on. In 1 Corinthians 7:3, Paul says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Our bodies and our sexuality are not our own to use for our own pleasure. So for the married person, masturbation deprives your spouse of something they are supposed to receive from you. Similarly, Proverbs 5:18-20, and I'm going to read all that. This is Proverbs 5:18-20. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? And I'm going to continue on. Similarly, Proverbs 5:18-20 tells us, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. May her breast satisfy you all the times, and may you be captivated by her love. Masturbation leads the married person to find satisfaction somewhere other than your spouse, and can often lead your affections away so that you're captivated by something with someone other than her or him. It doesn't matter, man or woman, either way. So when you think about that, now this really, he more so termed it as, of course, in a married situation, which is understandable because we should be, at that point, being able to be together and at one with your husband. But you also can think of it in the case of if you're single. I mean, does that prepare, I mean, majority of us want to be in a relationship one day, want to be married to someone one day, but is that act, which is clearly a solo act, properly preparing you to be at one with someone one day? I mean, you think about that, what it says in the Bible, and the two shall become one. And that's where you got to look at masturbation closely. Is that truly preparing you to be at one with someone else? Or is that conditioning you too much to just think of just yourself? See, definitely, as he was talking about here, in the case of the married person, you definitely are supposed to be in a situation where you should be just, you know, with your husband and making love with your husband. But even when you're single, I mean, you think about the statement, sex and our sexuality was not created by God primarily for our own pleasure. So you can apply that to when you're single. We're supposed to be, if you're looking to be married, we're supposed to be preparing to be married one day. And you got to think, well, is that act really preparing us to be married? And I don't think it is. Next point. Masturbation plays into the sin of selfishness. And this is kind of going into pretty much what I just kind of mentioned. We are all prone to selfishness by nature, and masturbation seems to fan that flame. It also tends to isolate us. We withdraw and focus on ourselves. What would be good for me? What really excites me? All of this thinking breeds an attitude that is contrary to biblical love. Biblical love involves giving for the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. Love is giving, not getting. The activity of autoeroticism by nature is a getting activity rather than a giving activity. We begin to think we don't need another human relationship in that area. Yet this gift was intended to be some of the glue that will knit us to another person rather than ourselves. Masturbation runs to counter that and feeds selfish isolationism. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:3-5. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 13:5, I'm sorry. It does not dishonor others. And this is talking about love, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:5. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. But definitely that focus, it is not self-seeking. And I'm going to continue on. We read in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love does not seek its own. Masturbation seeks its own. Romans 15:2-3 says, each one of us should please his neighbor. For his good to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. Philippians 2:3-4 drives this home. Let nothing be done from selfish ambition. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. if you think about that, it plays into selfishness. I mean, how can, like I said, the mindset of somebody who's looking to go into a committed relationship one day wants to learn how to, just bottom line, when you get into a marriage, your goal really should be, how can I please my spouse? And that's why a lot of marriages end a divorce, because that's not the mindset of most married people today. They get into marriage thinking of themselves, thinking, what can I get out of it? You have all these power ego trips going on because people are focusing on themselves instead of their spouse. I mean, you're calling yourself preparing yourself for marriage, preparing yourself for relationships. Your mind should be totally on the other person. I mean, we're supposed to be, for the most part, taught to give. And a lot of people these days, I mean, the mantra of the hour now is go out and give what you can and think about yourself, especially when I think about as far as women goes, which is why numerous times I've talked about the feminist movement and how I think it's done us a great disservice. So that's the mantra of the day. Just going out and getting what you can. It's about you. Don't worry about nobody else. But that is not the ideal behind biblical love. Let me get through this because I'm spending a little too much time talking on each one. I'm going to pretty much read it so I can be done with it. This next point. Masturbation can be used as an escape or refuge other than God. Any of the good things that God has given us, food, drink, sex, work, can become sinful if used as a place of refuge instead of turning to God. Masturbation often gets used in that way, especially with young people. It's quick, it's easy, and gives fast gratification that in itself should send off some danger signals. Habits may be forming, so they will want to run there when things don't go their way, or they're feeling down or bored or just want immediate gratification. Psalms 73:25 says, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 16:11 teaches, in your presence is fullness of joy. While Psalm 91:2 notes, I will say of the Lord, he was my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Masturbation can easily and insidiously become a substitute for a relationship with God and others. Here's the next point. Masturbation flies in the face of self-control that we are commanded to develop as Christians. Fighting in this area is an excellent opportunity to trust God and ask for his grace rather than feed the desires of the flesh. I know it's hard. It can still be a struggle for a married person. In all honesty, sometimes you don't want the hassle of having to perform or make it good for someone else, and you just want quick relief. If you allow masturbation to be a regular practice, you may find sexual relations with your spouse less satisfying and more frustrating. There are plenty of scriptures that show our need for self-control. And he just lists these, and I'll read what he says, and then I'll add another. First one is Proverbs 25:28, which says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 6 says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you shall avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord would punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. Then the next one he has is 2 Timothy 1 and 7, which says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And then other one I want to add is, of course, we know self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm adding this one, Galatians 5:22 through 23, which says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I read that one from the New Living Translation. That's the one I added because self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I got 4 more minutes here. I'm going to continue on and finish the blog, okay? The next point. Masturbation often lights a flame that can never get enough. If you open the door and allow free rein in this area, it seems that you need more and more to get the same level of satisfaction you did before. You will feel the need to move on to other things, such as pornography, fantasy, in order to get the same level of pleasure. Rather than satisfying, it stirs a thirst for more and leaves you feeling very empty. Jeremiah 2:13 says, but my people have committed two great sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. Masturbation is a broken cistern that cannot hold water. To stay satisfied, it demands more. More of the same, and then variety, something new. You end up in a state of perpetual agitation with very little satisfaction. And we're coming to the last point. Masturbation often brings guilt and distraction that hinders your walk with God. Peter teaches, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. And that's coming from 1 Peter 2 and 11. Very often when this area of physical lust is stirred up, it wars against the spiritual side. We feel dirty and think we can't draw near to God. Romans 13 and 14 explains, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Often masturbation causes us to spend an inordinate amount of time about it, leading up to it, what we'll do next time, etc. And this is the conclusion. Based on scriptural principles of biblical love and self-control, as well as the foundation of God's original design for sexual pleasure to be shared between husband and wife, it seems prudent to personally resist the temptation to masturbate. And it seems important to teach our children the dangers of giving over to this temptation. Now, that is the end of part one of this blog. And as you can see, it's going in the pretty much in the area of, to wrap it up, selfishness. that's the main problem with this. It's it all of these reasons breed into as a whole selfishness. Like I said, how is this, if you're looking to be married one day, how is this preparing you for that? How is something that you do alone preparing you to be at one with someone one day? Now I'm going to leave you to ponder that until tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to read part two of this blog, which is called Masturbation, So What's the Way Out? I'm going to read part two, or the second blog, tomorrow as I leave you to ponder about what, if you have masturbated before, what has that, how has that affected you? I mean, is it what the world says? Is it just self-exploration? Or is it doing the opposite? Is it making you feel bound? I'm going to leave you to question that for today, as we will end for today, and we will do part two. I will read the second blog, that's a two-parter to this, tomorrow, okay? With that, thank you for tuning in today. I know this is a topic a little different from what my speed is, but I just felt it was important to really cover, to really help to free someone out there that's struggling with this, okay? With that, that is my show for today. Thank you for listening. Like I said, part two of this tomorrow, okay, is Masturbation of God. Part two tomorrow, okay? Thank you for tuning in. And remember, God's thoughts plus your vision equals greatness. Once again, God's thoughts plus your vision equals greatness. Take care. You have a great evening. And I will see you on the radio tomorrow. God bless.
Climacophobia, the fear of climbing stairs. It's surprising there's a term for it, but if you have chronic hip pain, it's easy to relate to. But you shouldn't have to. At the Cedars-Sinai Orthopedic Center, our minimally invasive techniques allow many patients to go back home within 24 hours and get back to everyday tasks, like walking up the stairs. More reasons to trust the number one hospital in LA for joint replacements. Call 1-800-CEDARS-1 or visit our website.
Hey y'all, this is Jacqueline Price, a.k.a. Witch Sister. I hope you, and this is me live as I replayed that show for you. The Lord just laid it on my heart, as he did 3 years ago to initially do the show. He just laid it on my heart to replay it for you today. And I'm letting you know to confirm that part two is going to come up, of course, this Thursday, okay? So definitely I will replay part two. Like I said, I just felt led by the Lord to replay this today for those who may be struggling in this area.